Davin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being stuck in space with no way to get home. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry and Pip Helix. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, the FBI wants Apple to crack open a terrorist phone, but Apple does not want to. And one of the funniest scams we've seen to date involving a Nigerian and the space program. We'll get into that in a little bit. Very excited to delve into that. But I was following the politics as I'm wont to do. And I noticed a trend. I think I've posted it on my social media before after Iowa. But this, in that time, it was Mr. Trump who did this. But this time, it was Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
After Donald Trump beat them, where were they? They were in South Carolina this week.
Yes.
After Donald Trump soundly beat the Republican field, mm-hmm. it wasn't close, Rubio and Cruz claimed victory for second and third place.
There was one time with Rubio, and it was the first primary where he was like third, and I'm listening to the speech in the car on the way, I think the way actually back from our show, going back home to the island, and I'm driving, I go, did he won? Did he win?
But Trump did that after Iowa. It's like, well, nobody expected this. This perpetual claiming victory when you don't win. I would be more impressed if they said, hey, we lost. We'll do better next time.
Yeah.
But the people, they all lap it up. Oh, this sounds so good, lap it up. But, you know, we've had this discussion on our show before. It's the liberals who are ruining the kids with the participation trophies.
Yes.
it's like, look, Mom, I got a ribbon at the debate.
But apparently, when you're running for the highest office in the land, participation is good enough. You showed up. Everybody gets to claim victory. I don't think the Democrats have done that, because like the first night, Bernie and Hillary were kind of neck and neck with Iowa, so it wasn't really clear when they were giving their speeches. I believe after Bernie lost in Nevada, you know, he said we'll move on to South Carolina. Like, I don't believe he claimed victory for second.
I think it's because of the amount of candidates. I mean, I think a
Really? Is that what makes them delusional, Joe?
I think so, because if you're running in a group, you know, the group that they are, and then you claim, oh, well, we are starting to make a turn, and you're in a group of people, it's like, it's a race. If it's either you or Hillary, if you start saying,
Joe, there was six of them, not 1,000.
But still, and I'm being the devil's advocate here. I mean, I think it's utterly ridiculous to make a victory speech when you came in
even,
third.
Now, do you feel that way even when Trump came in second in Iowa and essentially gave a victory speech?
Yes, okay. I do. So, you know, so, but to being their advocate, I guess if Bernie Sanders did that when he lost to Hillary, it looked ridiculous. He's the only person running against her. How can you have a victory speech? But if you
have but he came in second. It's better than third.
But if you have these other candidates, right.
Who's a distant third, I wonder?
Right. But if you have these other candidates where there's, how many are left?
There's five of them left.
Five of them. Where you go, we're making strides, we're doing, you know, it still makes it sound like they have a chance.
There was six at the time. You're claiming victory in third. You're in the 50 percentile. You're average. You're a C student. And it's a victory.
I didn't fail.
Well, give him a time.
Right.
Like I said.
So we've been told it's the liberals who are ruining the kids with the participation trophy.
Yeah.
We've also been told it's these damn millennials who don't want to compete. We've had that thrust upon us, that this generation of millennials just isn't tough enough. They just expect everything handed to them. And here, these are not millennials, and they're happy not to win.
Well, the other thing is that if you have candidates that are not afraid to go bare knuckle with each other, how is it that we're going, oh, you know what? It's okay, pat on the back. Here's a cookie. You still placed. I mean,
and the people lap it up.
This
is good. We didn't lose. You didn't.
Because they have to hold on to everybody they can. You got to think.
But the people don't have to. The people watching there can go, no, we lost.
But right, but as long as you can keep that people that say that to the minimum, that's what you need to do.
So you mean you need mindless drones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, it's one battle. It's not the whole war. So you don't want people to give up because they lost one battle.
No, but say, hey, you know what? It didn't. Today wasn't our day in state X.
Yeah.
I feel very confident because of such and such, even if it's a bunch of malarkey, mm-hmm. that we're going to do better in this state. And this is why. You do that. You can still rally the troops that better days are ahead.
Right.
And I would respect you more. I mean, after a game, when you lose the World Series, you don't go, well, gee, shucks, we were just happy to get here. You would kill that athlete if he did that.
We came in second.
That's not acceptable in sports. We arrived, but we didn't win. I mean, if the Mets, after losing to the Royals in five games, I believe, in the World Series, now you were a big Mets fan, and I think it was a very successful season for the Mets.
It was, yes.
But if the Mets themselves started saying, well, you know what, we showed up, and that's good enough, and that's a win for us, you would go nuts!
You have, and believe me, I think it's preposterous, too. But you got to think what these guys have. You have a whole host of guys, they're trying to keep every vote you can get without losing it to another candidate that might be ahead of them.
Yeah.
So they're going to make speeches like that. We came and we saw victory and we did, just to keep the people that are investing in them from going to another candidate that they feel might have a better chance. You'll see that in the Republicans because there's six of them. You're not going to see them in the Democratic because it's just Hillary and Bernie.
Oh, no, but it is true in the Democrats because I've seen a lot of people saying, you know what, you know, if they're Democrats, they're saying, I don't want a Republican to win, so I don't want to put down Hillary. I want Bernie, but I'm afraid to vote for him because I think that vote
would
be a vote
for a Republican.
It's not a put
down to go, you know what, today wasn't our day.
Yeah, I know. But people,
so Joe is saying,
it will scare people
Joe
off.
Is saying they're willfully lying. Yes. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
They're willful,
all of them.
They're willfully lying to keep the...
But this is a problem. This is a problem with today's society and today's politics. This is the spin. Everything is spun.
It's like rappers with their hype.
Think about it. Yes, it's rappers with the hype. We hear America's the best. Now, whether you feel America's the best, you know, that's completely subjective. But they go, we have the best health care in the world. But if you look statistically and they do, you know, about how many, babies die, you know, how many
our
mothers die.
Our infant mortality rate is really bad for, like, supposedly the greatest nation in the world.
Right. And you look for, like, heart disease and how people get treated. We're not number one.
Nope.
We're 30 or a lot of times. But it's the spin go, no, we're number one. Like, we're all a bunch of children and need to be coddled.
Yeah. No, you have on that, you know, it's this self-aggrandizement that goes on. It's ridiculous. We're not allowed to talk about the truth, though. We have to rah-rah all the time.
But when Obama, like, speaks the truth, when he does give us the cold hard truth, he doesn't love America.
I know.
I'm not a child. Tell me what's going on.
I know.
I can take it.
Yeah, but you can. Apparently, most of America can't. They get nuts when they're told the truth.
Well, like, what? Give an example.
Of what?
Of when Obama tells the cold hard truth.
If Obama were to give statistics on
unemployment or
unemployment or our guns, you know how we're not safe with guns, how more people get murdered here with guns, for instance, than in a lot of places,
right?
And they go, well, he hates America,
but he's against the Second Amendment.
It's like these are the facts, and what we did with the facts define us. It defines us as an individual, how you handle loss. It defines us as a nation, how we handle the facts and the setback, not how much we could spin it to make ourselves feel good. If Joe has a real crappy show, and they don't happen very often, but I could either go, well, Joe, that was great, and he'll never improve, and he'll have more crappy shows, or I could go, Joe, here's where I think, you know, it went wrong on this particular show.
Right.
You've had better shows in the past. I think your best shows are still ahead of you, but this is what you need to work on.
Yeah.
One actually gives Joe the opportunity to be even better than he is.
Yes.
And I don't mean to single you out. You're just the one right here.
And
the other is just, you know, patting him on his back because I don't want to have that uncomfortable conversation.
Right.
But it's also like with the facts, like some facts I could say, well, there might be some clubs that you don't work at anymore. And then you look at the facts and go, well, that's okay. But you don't look at the backstory. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault. You got an unfair review. You know, something like that.
Right,
so
but
you
the
have
backstory
a fact,
is important.
But then it's looking into the facts sometimes where you're questioning
the reality is if you did not come in first, you did not win. That is the reality. You can. I don't care about the facts behind it. Yeah, well, you know, this one said a nasty thing about me, and it really hurt me in the polls.
No, that is look. That is look. That is. I mean, when we get into the micro position, yes, it is absolutely ridiculous.
That's my point.
How, like I said,
we got to be able to handle the truth as a society, we got to stop. We listen. If in the Olympics you get a silver or bronze, I'm all for it.
It's still really, really good.
Yes, but don't say you won.
Right.
Because the Romanian won. Yeah. You didn't win.
Yeah, but if you have to convince a bunch of people to support you to go to your next meet, you might go.
But I placed.
Well, then they really don't support you then. That's what it is. That's what I'm saying. Be honest with us, America. Be honest.
We can take it.
You're listening to Davin's Den. When we come back, the FBI and Apple. We're back. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. So, the FBI is all up in Apple's business and everything. Because the San Bernardino terrorist who killed 14 people.
I don't know the exact. I don't remember the exact
number, but
it was a lot.
They were using Apple phones.
Yeah.
And I guess with an Apple phone, it can be encrypted. And the FBI is having their issues opening it. So they want Apple to help. So here are some of the particulars of it, because it's kind of complicated. So I'll try not to make it too complicated. But needless to say, Apple does not want to comply. And we'll get into it in a little bit.
Okay.
The Obama administration and Apple held closely guarded discussions for over 2 months about the FBI wanting to help, quote, unlock an iPhone used by one of the two attackers who killed 14 people in San Bernardino. Hey, look at your notes, stupid. It's right there.
I know. I'm sorry.
Apple was resisting a federal judge at the Justice Department's request, an order to Apple to bypass security functions on the phone. The order set off a public battle between the Obama administration and Apple. Law enforcement officials who support the FBI's position said that the impasse with Apple provided an ideal test case to move from abstract debate over the balance between national security and private to a concrete one. Judge Sherry Pym of the Federal District Court for the District of Central California issued her order Tuesday, and after the FBI said it had been unable to get access to the data on its own and needed Apple's technical assistance. By the way, hilarious that they can't crack an iPhone. But anyway, don't feel so bad when your phone locks up and you can't figure out how to get in. What's my password?
True.
Mr. Cook, Tim Cook, the chief executive at Apple, responded Wednesday morning with a blistering 1,100-word letter to Apple customers warning of the, quote, chilling breach of privacy posed by the government's demands. He maintained that the order would effectively require it to create a backdoor to get around its own safeguards, and Apple vowed to appeal the ruling by next week. Apple argues that the software the FBI wants to create does not exist, but other technologists say the company can do it. The dispute could initiate legislation in Congress. Now you sound like Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
I'm not saying that to be mean, but she had that whole barking
episode. I know,
okay.
Her barking episode.
I know, I saw Joe's little ears perk up. Oh, he's going to get Hillary now.
When she barks, yes.
Yeah, when she barks, it's not really presidential. You never want to hear your president bark.
No.
I think we can all agree on that.
Down girl.
Hear Putin. Heel, Hillary, heel.
Yeah. Who was the guy that lost, blew it? Because
Dean.
Dean. Roar!
But we digress. So this is going to be supported by Republicans and Democrats because they're both criticizing Apple's stance and they're calling for tougher decryption requirements. Donald J. Trump, the Republican presidential contender, also attacked Apple on Fox News asking, well, who do they think they are? Trump later called for a boycott in a tweet he sent out while using his Apple phone.
That's a nice touch.
I'll show them. Many of the company's defenders argued that the types of government surveillance operations exposed in 2013 by Snowden, the former National Security Agency contractor, have prompted technology companies to build tougher encryption safeguards in their products because of the privacy demands of customers. Privacy advocates and others said they are worried that if the FBI succeeded in getting access to the software overriding Apple's encryption, it would create easy access for the government and many future investigations. There is no debate that when armed with a court order, the government can get text messages and other data stored in plain text. Far less certain was whether the government could use a court order to force a company to write software or redesign its system to decode encrypted data. A federal law would make that authority clearer, they said. So what do you think? Should Apple be forced by the government to create software to unencrypt their iPhone?
Yeah, I do, because I think it's a national security issue. Now, with that being said, it should be created, but it should be on a case-by-case basis.
But here's the problem. Once you create that, like if you give it to the FBI, they have it forever.
Yes.
And as we know, the government, Republican, Democrat, likes to overreach when it comes to our privacy.
You don't say.
We've seen that since after 9/11.
Snowden.
Right, we've seen that in the Patriot Act.
But is it at the cost of national security? That's the key issue here. Basically, it should be in a case by case basis with a court order on that. I feel that they can make up the encryption software to get in there, and from a national security standpoint, I think they should do it. However,
so you want the court to force a private company to comply to the government's wishes?
Because this was a national security issue of people that had a massacre of people that were Muslim terrorists. You know, it's like I said, a case-by-case basis. If it was another case, maybe...
Right, but once this has been created, the cat's out of the bag.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you leave it with the FBI. You know, if you give the FBI the tool... Who's to say they got to come to you next time? Now they know how have the key.
But on the other side of that, if there's stuff on that phone with a sleeper cell that might be planning
well,
something
else.
Well,
that's the argument.
You see that's the whole thing. I mean, you know.
Well, then how much of your private? Because theoretically, they could get into your phone. How much of your private rights do you want to give up? That's what this really comes down to.
And the thing about it is that my private right. I'm not a person of interest.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
You set me up for that one.
I walk like a deer walking into a freaking...
I got to polish the turd that is your radio personality every week.
I was like a deer walking into, you just see gun barrels waiting. I'm going to eat a branch.
No, you're going to eat a bullet.
You're going to eat a bullet, Bambi.
Uh-oh.
I'm on a wall right now. Stupid.
But go on, make a valid point after that.
Okay, I am not a person of interest that the FBI would be
looking
at.
And that's the argument. The government says, well, we're not looking at everyday civilians. But didn't Snowden kind of reveal that they are?
Yes, he absolutely did.
Really? But what are they going to find on regular people? I mean,
Well, what happens if that showed up in your divorce proceedings?
But, you know, the thing is that if it's a point of national security.
But well, that's the crux.
And that's,
how much do we want to give? I say we've given a lot
already.
But it is national security. Because if there is connections to a sleeper cell, you would hate for that cell to activate and then find out later we could have stopped it.
Yes.
How about having, if you're saying on a case-by-case basis, how about have it just like you do in any criminal instance where they have to get a warrant to go after that particular person.
Well, that's what they're talking about.
But not give up the whole technology and how to get into everybody.
And I think they've been discussing that.
Yeah. Right, and I'm glad you brought that up because that was also my point too. Mm-hmm. Make the technology there that when a court order is issued, you would use it, not make it out.
Keep in mind, nothing is safe now. Once Apple has that technology, it's on a computer somewhere, and everything is hackable.
You mean once the FBI has that technology?
No, I'm saying even once Apple has it.
Yeah.
Saying Apple has it, says we'll unencrypt it for you.
Right.
We'll keep the tool.
Right.
Once Apple has created that tool to, I don't know if it's unencrypt or decrypt, whatever it is, CryptKeeper, whatever
not,
it is.
I'm not sure.
Whatever, once they have that tool, if they keep how to do that, how the come up with the plans, how they did that,
mm-hmm.
the technology, on a computer somewhere, which presumably they will, it's hackable. So a hacker could get in and do it. Now they know how to. That's the danger.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, the danger is walking in a mall and three gunmen come out and start shooting you up. You know, it's half a dozen, one or the other. You have to pick the lesser of an evil.
The problem is the government just has such a bad history with this.
Yeah, they absolutely overreach. Every time you give an inch, they take a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like you're saying, is that, you know, I'm not a person of interest, or at least I don't think I am. But
many concur. Well, two deer in one shot.
All concur. But the thing is that I don't like the idea that I am giving, open an open door policy to the government to look at all of my stuff. That should not be allowed.
Should Apple have just volunteered to do it? Go, listen, we'll do it. We're going to destroy it. You don't get the technology. We're going to keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apple says, yeah, give us the phone, we'll do it, and we'll give you the information.
Yes.
Now, that's a fair deal. That's a fair deal.
But again, I still think there's that concern, you know, that once they create it.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, Donald Trump's boycott idea.
Well, I mean, you know, Donald Trump will say, well, we'll boycott Apple. It's easier said than
done. Maybe he'll want to boycott Starbucks. I don't know. I'm just thinking. Donald Trump is always just thinking.
Not happening. It's not happening.
But I mean, is that a good idea? I mean, should we as a society say we're going to punish you, Apple?
No.
You can speak with your tax dollars however you feel.
Yeah, and no, depending on how you feel about the issue.
But I think when him saying that, because he's a presidential candidate and he's the leading Republican candidate, I think it shows a lack of nuance on his part. It's not just that simple. You know, I think we're discussing with a lot more nuance
right.
in this little conversation than Donald Trump is expressing by, we'll just boycott them.
Yeah, but
he makes it black and white. It's not that easy.
But broad strokes are the way he speaks.
That's his appeal.
That's his appeal.
But that's what somebody who's not a believer, a Trumpeter, if you will, that's what scares me.
Yes, absolutely.
But you want to know something? When he says that, you're putting something out there. You know,
he's putting something out there.
But you know, we should protest that. How many people are going to go out there? How many people are that concerned about it? How many people are that upset about this?
You're an Apple customer. Do you feel better or worse that they're taking this stand?
I don't feel worse. Then I have nothing to hide. And if they have it where we'll design the encryption software, we'll get the information, and we will forward you that information. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll give you the information. If you want to have a
representative. Are you happy that they're sticking up for your privacy, though? That they're not just going into the government?
I'm happy they're going kicking and screaming into it. They really should offer it, but that they're not just, laying down. But I do think they handle the encryption. They'll forward it to the FBI, and they'll keep the encryption techniques on Apple's terms, and they'll subpoena it. It's got to be an agreement on that,
All right. You are listening to Davin's End filling in for Coffee Talk. When we come back, Joe had some experiences with an oil burner that we can't wait to hear about. Don't go anywhere. We're back. Davin's Dead filling in for Coffee Talk. Joe, so I saw on your social media that did you have some oil burner problems?
Yeah, I get up this morning and I hit.
Well, that's a good start.
Yes. I go off to the day program, and the house is usually kept a little cold in the morning, and I don't turn up the heat because
why is that to entomb you? Why is it so you don't rot? Why is it kept cold?
Because I have a soon to be ex-wife that thinks I have oil derricks in the backyard just churning barrels of oil.
So it's your decision to keep it cold.
Well, she overrides it, but if it's up to me, I keep
it. What's
it
cold? Like 65?
Like 60, 68.
Oh, that's not crazy. That's not great.
Yeah.
A little chilly.
I mean, that's a little chilly, but
because we're in the Northeast.
Yeah.
And it snowed today. So.
Well, it snowed up here.
We're like, ugh.
But,
but when you first get out of bed and it's cold in the house and it's like 68 is a little, bare feet.
A little chilly.
Yeah.
So I didn't really notice anything because I go to take a shower because I've been nursing a small cold today. And I go, a nice hot shower would be great.
Yeah.
And there's nothing but cold water. But sometimes it takes my burner to a while to get going. So I figured it was in between cycles.
Right.
So I go to the day program and I get a call. We have no heat. And I go,
was that the oil burner?
No.
He calls?
Yeah.
It's a very well-trained oil burner.
It would have been well.
Talking about a smart house.
Yeah. We have no heat. So, call, what do you want me to do? Well, what should I do? I don't know. I go, there's a reset button. Well, where's the reset button? It's on the roof by the chimney. It's down by the unit.
I don't think it's really there, Pip. I don't think it's really on
the... Boy, that's inconvenient.
Yeah, well, you never know these houses. It was designed a long time ago.
Yeah, I know.
So I go downstairs and hit the reset button. Well, it's not reset. So call the oil burner technician. Well, I have to stay home. Okay. Stay home.
Yeah.
So, she's, and the reason I didn't care, because all I've been hearing ever since, by the way, our separation went through on Groundhog's Day.
Oh, so you'll be reliving it.
Yes.
Are you officially separated?
Legally separated, yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
When will you guys be getting separate houses?
We're working on that.
Okay.
But if she sticks her head out the front door and sees her shadow, do you get remarried or what happens?
He hits the reset button.
Yeah.
On the roof.
But all I've been...
So you're divorced.
Well, not divorced, separated.
Well, what's the difference?
The difference is that we illegally, like I have to pay our health insurance and we still have to do our taxes together.
Do you have to pay the health insurance if you're the chief cause of her not feeling well?
Yes. Yes. But after a year, I could file for divorce, which is...
You got to wait a year?
You have to wait a year in New York. Yeah.
Why can't you get divorced quicker?
Because
I hate to ruin this riveting oil burner story, but this is... I think you buried the headline here, Joe.
Yeah. No, you have to wait a year.
That's unbelievable.
Why? You both admit you don't like each other.
That's the law.
In New York?
In New York, yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Noted.
Yeah. So it pays to really kill somebody.
Well, not really.
With a good lawyer out in 5 to 10, you know?
Well, at least I got an Apple phone. They
Sir, I think I found the problem with your oil burner. It's this body stuffed inside it.
So you got to be a year.
Yeah.
All right, go on with your oil burner.
Well, anyway, so I didn't feel bad about it because all I've been hearing around this is my TV, this is my bedroom, this is my...
And she putting like little yellow post-its on everything, just so you know.
This is my... And I told her this morning, I go, why do I have to wait for the guy? Because this is your oil burner.
Oh, nice.
How good did that feel?
Great.
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing...
Did she laugh?
No, because she's still mad at me because she, over the weekend...
You could have stopped right there.
Yeah. she was busting my chops about something. She goes, you know, I clean... You know what? You want this settlement and stuff like that. I should be taking money out for all the cleaning I do around this house. I go, all the cleaning you do here? Take $1.75 out of petty cash.
I don't think that's going to endear you to her.
No.
Do you think that he thinks that's a problem right now?
Yeah.
Well, they are separated, although they still live in very close proximity.
Well, no, we got separate bedrooms now. We sleep in a separate bedroom.
Well, she got the bedroom, and you got a closet.
Yeah. Actually, she was in Jersey on Saturday night, and I came home.
She tours more than you do.
Yeah. I was in Connecticut. I came back, and she stayed. I guess she was at her sister's, I think. And I stayed. I got to sleep in my old bed again. Oh, it was like old time. Watch TV.
See, I don't think I would do that.
I would not want to be back in the
nest.
No,
I would think that, yeah, that's her area. Yeah. It smells of her. No, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah. I don't want
to. And then if she walks in, then you got to answer because you don't know when she's coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, when a pterodactyl goes to feed, a tyrannosaurus, when it goes to feed, you know, it comes back, there's like still blood in its teeth. Yeah, it could be you could still be hungry. It could be you. You could be fed.
It could be a meal.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one I want.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wise.
Yeah, I don't want to be sharing DNA on sheets or pillowcases
or
anything
with somebody
anymore.
Yeah, really.
No, I mean, like there's a stray hair. It belongs to them. Ew. I don't want any of that.
All right. Well, you're listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. When we come back, Pip read a book, and she thinks that we care. But... Back, Den, in for talk. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Out, hanging, us,
man,
hi.
Few words.
I now do radio like a Twitter post.
Well, like a caveman.
The case may be. Yep. But Pip is no cavewoman. She reads. And she read a book, and she was all excited about this book. I guess it touched you in some way.
It did.
Okay.
I was reading a book about a musician that I know that you will not know, Davin, but he is a musician that used to play with Steve Winwood.
Ah, puff, puff, puff.
Yeah.
Pip's idol.
Yeah, but he was in Traffic. His name was Chris Wood.
Too bad he didn't play in it.
He did. But sax and flute. And
if you're Steve Winwood, you can't have another guy named Wood in your band.
It just happened.
It's ridiculous. What is next, Mahogany? on keys, it's Maple. Stop it. We get it.
Mr. Pine over there.
Yeah, exactly. You're, what are you trying to be kitschy? Yeah.
No. It just happened.
Uh-huh. Whatever.
You know, if your name's Smith and you meet a guy named Smith, you're like, oh, no, we can't have two Smiths in the room. We have to run. Opposite rooms. Do you? No. Just my point made. Okay. So.
That's what she took away from my silence. So be it.
Yes, I choose to.
Okay.
So this book was really, it's really good, but I wanted to know more about him because...
A biography?
It was a biography.
Maybe he should have written more about himself.
No, it was an autobiography. The man's passed. So he's not able to write more about himself.
I don't know when that was published. Settle down there, Chicky.
It's brand new. But it was...
Chicky, who either the mob was... Yeah, settle down, Chicky. Nah, say you tell the story.
Well, on regular radio, I can't tell her what I really think she is.
That's for after the show.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was a contemporary of Steve Winwood's, but he died in 1983. But complications from a lot of years of abuse of alcohol and drugs.
Mm.
But the thing that... and all everybody who talked to the author about him was talking about, you know, how special he was and how talented he was and the particular type of thing that he was good at and everything. But it made me, it made me sad because it was another life that was just tragically cut down short. But it made me also think about how the times are so different. Back in the day when people had, like, abuse problems or, you know, like, drug or alcohol abuse, nobody would tell them to stop.
No, we called it rock and roll.
Yeah, everybody else was doing the same thing.
Yeah, it was called living.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
strung out on alcohol, help. This cocaine will help.
Yeah, exactly. Helps you get your head clear. Yeah.
I know. It was called early dying, too. Yeah. So many people.
Well, Keith Richards is still around and kicking.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Do you know, I read a book about him, too.
Of course you did. Because you're a spinster with cats and books.
I do have a husband, but he likes to read, too.
He wants nothing to do with you.
No, he's smart. But we're in the same room, though.
That's love.
Yeah, I know. So, bed covered in cats. And Keith Richards used to hide his heroin in little toys, like beautiful little toys that... Everybody thought, oh, he's importing those for his kid. As soon as they'd get them in the house, they'd smash them open and take the dope out.
Why does Raggedy Andy have tracks?
<Isn't that awful? laughs>
Who put this powder on Teddy Ruxpin?
Weebles wobble, but they fall asleep.
Raggedy Ann's looking particularly raggedy.
Yeah.
So it also, all these people saying all these nice things about him and talking about how sensitive he was and everything, it made me think.
It made me think what a boring biography.
No.
Where's the dirt?
It was a great biography. Oh, no, there were things that were interesting to somebody.
He had a hangnail once.
You know what? It was a big one.
Mm.
And there was talk about the goiter. But the other thing is that it made me wonder, what would people say about you if you died, and how would they explain your...
I don't know, just wait till I turn around and listen to Joe. You'll get a good idea of what people are saying about me.
So, Joe, if I was the interviewer and I was talking about, you know, poor Davin who passed of, you know, cirrhosis. And
He wouldn't be brought up on charges for me disappearing.
Be a person of interest.
Yeah, exactly. But for the first time in your life.
I'd be like the guilty one. I'm the guy putting posters up. We have to find him. Comedy will never be the same.
Yeah, unfortunately, they'd be all blood fingerprints on the poster with your fingerprints, stupid.
I'm leading a group to find him. We have to do something. There's a show Saturday.
Joe sets up his own GoFundMe for me.
Yeah. Well, be go something else.
But... It starts with an F and a U.
Meanwhile, people are taking
he
black
would say
to
nothing nice. He would say nothing nice.
Would you?
What?
Would you say anything nice about David if he had passed?
I'd have to figure something out.
You'd be put on the spot. Would you lie?
I would have to.
Would you be like a candidate and lie and put the proper
spin on it? Yes, we're number one, and we will move on.
You know what?
We will find him.
When I die, spin, baby, spin. All right, you're listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. When we come back, the funniest Nigerian scam ever. We are back. Davin's Den in for Coffee Talk. Last segment of the show. And this came across to me. You know, we do, our show has a lot of history with these African scammers and scammers from all around the world. And, you know, some of the scams are laughable because of grammar. And sometimes you go, well, the story seems a little odd. Or how could somebody fall for this? But then once in a while, there is such a piece of creative writing that it deserves our attention.
Yes.
It deserves our spotlight. Now, I don't know how long this one's been around, because it seems like it might be dated, but this is the first I'm hearing of it. So, the subject is, Nigerian astronaut wants to come home. I didn't know there were Nigerian astronauts.
No, neither did I. It's sort of like the Jamaican bobsled team.
Yo, that was real.
I know.
Not only did we know they were there, we didn't know they were homesick.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Joe, what did they do, ride a yak to, like, the moon?
Yeah.
Dr. Bakare Tunde, dear Mr. Sir. You can never be too polite when asking for something.
Mr. Davin.
No, it's Mr. Sir.
Mr. Sir. Mr. Sir.
Covering all your bases.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
Mr. Sir. Forget if it's a woman. You got no money.
Yeah, forget, right?
As John Kasich would say, get back to your kitchen.
If you're a woman, hand this letter to your husband.
Yeah. Dear Mr. Sir or Madam, pass it to your left. Request for assistance strictly confidential, yet I'm sending it everywhere.
I'm sending it to somebody whose name I don't even know.
Apparently. Exactly. I can't let the people I know about this. I am Dr. Bakare Tunde, the cousin of Nigerian astronaut, Air Force Major Abacha Tunde. Why did I make that Jewish? I mean, Abacha.
Because it's got that CHA in there.
Yeah, but it might be Abacha. I really took liberties.
Abacha, maybe?
I really took liberties.
I think Abacha.
Abacha? Like Chewbacca?
Yeah.
Let's call him Chewy. Okay. He was the first African in space when he made a secret flight to the Salyut 6 space station in 1979.
Isn't that Soyuz?
I don't know. It's S-A-L-Y.
Soyuz.
Oh, right. He was on a later Soviet space flight, Soyuz TU-16Z. I think my nephew used to drive that. To the secret Soviet military. Sounds like something made by Nissan.
It's so Jersey.
Yeah.
Am I right?
To the secret Soviet military space station, Salyut 8T, on 1989. Now, it's 8T because it came with T-tops. That was the good version of that one.
Nice.
Popular back then.
Mm. Here's where things turn, kids. He was stranded there in 1990 when the Soviet Union was dissolved.
They just left him there.
Yeah.
What about me? Hello, what about me?
Ah, we got enough problems here on Earth.
The first man to figure out how long Twinkies really last.
Yes. His other Soviet crew members returned to Earth on the Soyuz T-16Z, but his place was taken up by returned cargo.
Screw you, buddy. We'd rather get
Listen,
our
we got
back.
We got these fern and these earthworms that are going to have to make you go home.
You're going to have to stay there. I'm like...
Hey, you're Nigerian. Wait it out, buddy.
Terrible.
There have been occasional Progress supply flights to keep him going since that time. He's in good humor, but wants to come home.
I think we can get a flight up there.
Now, instead of bringing
him
home, instead of bringing him home and being ending it all, we're going to keep him there and spend all this money on flights to bring him stuff.
They're experimenting on this poor man like a guinea pig.
I know. It's like, you know what? Every once in a while, they have to send him some produce and dairy because they're afraid that he's run out.
Yeah, can you imagine what that place smells like? Who's cleaning that place?
Oh.
I like the way he is in good humor. Yeah, because they keep on sending him ships with ice cream on it.
Cold in space.
Yes.
In the 14 years since he has been on the station, that's why I think this might have been going around a little while, he has accumulated flight pay and interest amounting to almost $15 million American dollars. This is held in a trust at the Lagos National Savings and Trust Association. Because when I hear Lagos, I trust.
Yes. Yes.
If we can obtain access to this money, we can place a down payment with the Russian space authorities for a Soyuz return flight to bring him back to Earth. We got to pay them to bring him back after they sent him there.
And spending all this money and pay, you know, $50 million.
And then he's going to wrestle with me for his paycheck. Hey, I earned that money. Yeah. What the hell did you do?
I am told this will cost $3 million American dollars. In order to access that his trust fund, we need your assistance. Consequently, my colleagues and I are willing to transfer the total amount to your account or subsequent disbursement, since we as civil servants are prohibited by the Code of Conduct Bureau civil service laws from opening and or operating foreign accounts in our names. But there's a civil code that says, yeah, leave astronauts in outer space. Yeah. That's allowed.
And bring crates of bananas back until stupid he's stuck there.
Like Greenpeace wouldn't have figured out a way to get up there and protest this.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Really?
Like Jimmy Carter wouldn't have built him a house for humanity.
Really? They save whales. They can't save this one Nigerian astronaut?
No, I feel terrible for this man.
Poor guy.
Needless to say, the trust reposed on you at this juncture is enormous. In return, we have agreed to offer you 20% of the transferred sum, while 10% shall be set aside for incidental expenses and internal and external.
Like rocket fuel.
Yeah. Internal and external, I'm like, skin, appendix, what are you talking about?
Between the parties in the course of this transaction, you will be mandated to remit the balance 70% to other accounts in due course. Kindly expedite action as we are behind schedule, I'd say.
We're a T-1.
To enable us to include down payment in this financial quarter. Please acknowledge the receipt of this message via my direct number.
Oh, God.
All right. Is it possible anybody fell for this?
You know what?
There has to be somebody.
Yeah.
Probably Ann Jackson.
They don't know who that is.
Right, yeah.
Right. But no, there. You know what? One of the people that my husband was in a band with previously, he was one of the last people, I thought, to get one of the Nigerian scam letters. Mm. And he wrote on Facebook, you know, I can't believe my luck. And he was dead serious.
Oh,
I thought, because if it's, you're talking
about. Yeah, but this is out of space. Like, if it's me, I almost want to send money just for the creativity. I almost feel like, you know, I'm helping, like, it's a scholarship fund. Yeah. Like, you know, if you can do this for a scam, imagine what you could do with literature.
Yeah. Here's your money for your creative writing course.
This is better than anything J.K. Rowling wrote for Harry Potter.
It's hilarious.
But I just think how funny it is that Russia's been spending all this money to send supply ships up and then paying them severance. Even if you were falling for this, wouldn't you go, why wouldn't they bring them back in the beginning?
Really.
Clearly they don't have a Jewish accountant doing the books.
You know, and not for nothing, you would think that Russia would say, you know, well, we'll pay the $3,000, you know, the $3 million to bring them home because we already owe them seven. We'll call it a day, you know?
Really? All
right. Joe, any place this week?
Yeah, Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club, Point Pleasant, New Jersey. I'll be down there Wednesday through Saturday, 528 Arnold Avenue. Call 1-877-UNCLE-VIN.
Wednesday, March 2nd, live comedy at Andiamo in Haworth, New Jersey. For tickets, call 201-384-1551. Thursday, March 3rd, at the Kitchen Table in Nanuet, New York. For tickets, call 845-624-2060. And Saturday, March 5th, I'll be in Chester, New York at Joker's Comedy Club. For tickets, 845-345-1039. As always, please check us out on the our website, davinsden.com. You can listen to old shows and this show unedited. Follow us on Facebook, Davin's Den on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, at Davin's Den. Thank you guys for hanging out. As always, it was fun. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.